This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for joining us today. Today, I'm sitting with my colleague, David Seibel. David is an expert on the R&D tax credit and also has an engineering degree. Thank you for joining us today, David.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So tell me, what is the R&D credit, just in short terms?
Well, it's a general business credit that essentially rewards companies for developing either new and improved products or new and improved processes. So it's a federal credit. Some states have their own state credits that they offer. Again, it's a general business credit that can be carried forward back 1 year, carried forward 20 years if it can't be used by the business in the current tax year.
So how is it tied to wages paid by a company?
Well, so there's three expenses that you can include toward the credit calculation. They're called qualified research expenses. It's wages, supplies, and contract research. Generally, what we see is that the credit is a very wage-driven credit. So the time that's spent on qualified activities by the employees can be included, a percentage of their time can be included as qualified research expenses, depending on how they're paid.
So we all know we're kind of in a weird, unprecedented time. The Paycheck Protection Program, as you know and we've talked about, was put out to help small businesses and not so small businesses, but businesses get through some of this time by providing assistance to pay payroll for up to an 8-week period. I know you and I have discussed Notice 2020-32, which under the IRS and Treasury's interpretation means that you don't get to take the deductions against payroll that was paid through these paycheck protection loans that are forgiven. How potentially could that affect an R&D tax credit?
Well, when you look at the wage Curie formula, it's the wage of the employee times their qualified percent. Now, if the wage has to be incurred by the taxpayer in order to be considered a wage expense, then technically, the wages paid to the employee would have to be reduced. So that would affect that variable. By the 2 or 3 months that the wages are paid for under the PPP loan.
So if they get 8 weeks under the PPP loan, let's just say someone makes, let's make the math easy, $48,000 a year, or $4,000 a month, and $8,000 of that employee's salary was covered by the PPP loan, obviously they'd lose that $8,000 when calculating their R&D tax credit, potentially.
Correct. Yeah, the way that it's written now, or at least the way that the treasurer has come out and said that you can't reduce or you can't take those those as expenses, though the wage expense would, in your example, go down by $8,000. The wage part of the wage times percent.
Now, I should point out on this podcast that we are hoping that gets changed, but as of today, we have to go with the guidance we have.
Correct.
I'll say for the podcast that I know both the head of the House Ways and Means Committee and the head of the Senate Finance Committee have said that that's not what they intended to do, and right now the only bill that we have that would fix it is the House stimulus bill, which has passed the House, but odds of it getting through the Senate are still pretty weak. But that would fix this, but we have to go off of what we have.
Correct, yeah. We have to start planning just in case it does not get resolved.
And I would assume that we would have to, even if it does get resolved on the federal level, we'd have to wait and see what states would do, because most of the states mirror the federal. So if a state decides you don't get to deduct those expenses, that could flow through and affect a state, even if it's fixed on the federal side.
Exactly, yeah. We would have to wait for any states to come out with their guidance. As you know, they do follow, many of them do follow the federal, but it's not an automatic or it's not a given.
Now, with the R&D credit, it's done for, obviously, the wages. It's when somebody's doing something that qualifies. So is there a chance, even if they fix this, is there a chance that people's calculations might get affected by the shutdown in the economy with people working from home and doing different tasks on a daily basis?
Yeah, certainly the percentage, the qualified percentage side of the equation could change depending on what that person is doing. Maybe for a software developer or an engineer who can, pretty much work from home, no changes, regardless, those qualified percentages would probably remain pretty steady. But if you look at a manufacturing supervisor who may be, working on process improvements, or any other employees that may be working on qualified research and have to be doing it, at a facility or in a lab, those qualified percentages could decrease if, they're at home working for the 8 weeks, working on, perhaps some general administrative functions while they're not able to be in the lab. That could cause their qualified percentage to decrease.
And I'm assuming as companies reevaluate what they do, you could in theory see people go up if a company says, hey, let's develop a new product because of this, or let's change from a company that makes HVAC filters to masks and other PPE during this time frame, that could see an increase in people's qualified percentages, I would assume, as well.
Correct. I've had conversations just with a couple clients. They say, oh, we'll pencil this in for 20. I know we're talking about 2019 studies, but pencil this in for 2020. We've been making PPE and other medical equipment like that, switching from what they have done in the past to these new products that are needed during this time.
So just to kind of look at companies that do R&D studies, obviously, we see this periodically, where normally we're working with companies year after year, but there are companies that will take a study that was maybe done 5, 6, 7 years ago and use the percentages or use the baseline that study created to determine their own R&D credit on an annual basis, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So now we don't recommend that, I will say.
Right, right.
But it is something that most likely those companies will probably want to reevaluate that R&D calculation just because of the upheaval this year. This year could be a weird anomaly.
Right, yeah, 2020 is a year like none other, and yeah, definitely if companies have been using the same percentages for the last couple of years, it would be definitely time to evaluate what they're doing, both on, if their workers have been furloughed or working from home, if, the work environment has changed, whether those percentages would go up or down or stay the same, and as well as, when things start to get back going, whatever that may look like, evaluating what it looks like when people are going back to work.
Now, remind me, there's something called a substantially all test on the R&D credit, correct? Where if
correct.
Somebody hits a certain percentage of their time, we can take 100% of their wages.
That's correct, yeah. That would be if an employee is conducting research 80% of the time, then that's a substantially all rule, whether it's 80, 85, 90%, you can include 100% of their wage toward the R&D credit.
So I'd assume, and this is just me assuming, I don't work on the R&D credit side of things. My assumption is really a lot of those people that are right around that 75 to 85% time, those are the ones that could really be affected by even a couple weeks of doing something that's not their core business over this shutdown or slowdown period.
Right. Yeah. Those would definitely be the employees we'd really want to take a close look at, make sure that we have the proper percentages. Again, whether they're substantially all, previous years and may go down, or they're at that 75% mark and they may be researching, new and improved products or processes, and their qualified percentages might be going up.
Now, just to take a step back, thinking not things that are necessarily tied to the coronavirus, but explain to me how the alternative simplified credit calculation works.
So it's an incremental base credit based on the previous 3 years of the research that was conducted. So you take the previous 3 years and divide by six. So you average them and take 50% of that. And that's your base amount that you have to overcome with your current year expenses. So you take your current year expenses minus that base amount and multiply it by the credit percentage, which is 14%.
So if someone's spending, let's say, $2 million on average over the last 3 years, so that's $6 million, you divide that by six. So if they spend $2 million this year, their credit is based on $1 million of expenditures.
Correct.
So any reduction in QREs, or qualified research expenditures, could really affect that because of that alternative simplified credit. It's going to be compounded. So if they have a reduction in workforce or an increase, potentially, that could affect how they actually go through that calculation.
Correct, yeah. But it's also important to note that, you know, even if a company thinks that they're not going to have a lot of research, you can still get a credit even if you go over that 50% threshold. So you would have to slash your research expenses by a pretty significant amount not to even generate a credit.
So it really, what it comes down to is people really, probably even if they haven't worried about this in the past, probably this year is a good year to reevaluate.
Exactly.
Now let's take that a little bit further. So let's say I haven't done it in the past. With a business's desire for cash flow right now, obviously cash is king in the current environment. Is this something, let's say, okay, I've been doing R&D type work for years, but I've never looked at it. We're in 2020 now. Is it too late to go back to 2019, 2018, some other years to really basically still go back and get that credit and maybe get some cash flow into my business?
Yes, so you can amend your tax returns to claim the credits for all open years. It's important to note that the guidelines that extended the tax return statute dates to July 15th, it also applies to open tax years for 2016. If they were expiring sometime after April 1st, between April 1st and July 14th, that automatically gets extended to July 15th. So there's a possibility for 2016 returns, if they're still within statute after April 1st, that you have till July 15th to amend those and claim, you know, up to 3 years of amending for the returns.
So if I'm a business and I've been going through all the EIDL loan programs, the PPP program, going to my bank, trying to figure out cash flow, some of these tax things are things I should be looking at as well. I shouldn't just be looking only at these stimulus grants. I could also, in theory, go back and amend a tax return from a couple years ago and potentially gain some cash flow that way.
Yeah, I think that would be a very, very good way to, as you noted, free up some cash and be able to increase cash flow pretty quickly.
Now, what if I go through this whole calculation with you in 2020, and in 2020, because of this slowdown in the economy, I don't have any taxable income. Do those credits just go away? Can I carry them forward? Can I carry them back? What's the situation?
So with R&D credit, you can carry it back 1 year or carry it forward 20 years. So any credits that can't be used if you had taxable income the previous year, you could use that the credit to offset that income or carry it forward to when, hopefully you'd be able to use it at some point.
So it's a little different than the depreciation things I deal with, where we're carrying back and forward the loss. In this situation, since it's a general business credit, we're carrying the credit itself back or forward.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time. I guess really what we wanted to do is establish today, and you and I have had a lot of conversations about it in recent weeks and recent months, is that this is sort of an unprecedented year. And it's really a time when people really need to reevaluate whether they were just using a rule of thumb approach based on old R&D studies or something else. They really need to potentially look into their R&D credit calculations and make sure they're maximizing those this year. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Or
no, I think you covered it. As you noted, 2020 is definitely a year like none other, and it's definitely time to to consider what the studies will look like in 2020 and how we can to reach out to us with any questions so that we can help maximize your R&D credits or any of the other services we provide.
Now, more of a business side, I know historically, we've done a lot of going out and visiting people and other things. If a company says, hey, I don't want anybody, any R&D consultants coming and meeting with my engineers, I don't want to increase my exposure, do we have ways to work around that?
Absolutely, yeah. We can we can accommodate any possible restrictions that a company might want to have. We've done a lot of remote meetings, lots of conference calls, video conferences, so we can accommodate the client however they want to conduct field work.
So we're able to do the Zoom calls just like everybody else.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you helping me out here today, David, with this podcast. Hopefully people learn something from it. And I look forward to talking more about these type of opportunities in the future.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. In recent weeks, Treasury's been updating regulations as it relates to the PPP on what seems to be a daily basis. And because of these changes to the Paycheck Protection Program, we want to keep people up to date. And so we're going to close out our podcasts every week with just updates from the week, just to make sure that people are aware of what's changing. So this week, things that have really been updated that are relevant to most people is that on Wednesday, May 13th, Treasury announced how they're going to review the good faith certifications as to the necessity of the PPP. And what we mean by that is Treasury was pushing back on whether or not people deem the paycheck protection loans necessary to maintain ongoing operations of their business. And there are some questions as to what that means. The important thing for people to note is that under this update, basically of question 46 of the FAQs that Treasury released, they basically stated that if you are taking a loan of less than $2 million, you will be deemed to have made the required certification in good faith. So if you are making a request of less than $2 million, basically Treasury is saying don't worry about it too much. Because of these changes, they also extended the safe harbor for returning the PPP loans without having any consequences. They had the safe harbor in there in case you did not feel like you could make the statement in good faith that it was necessary for the ongoing operations, then they gave you till the 14th to return those funds. On Wednesday, May 13th, they extended that as well to May 18th. And then on Friday, the 15th, so about a week ago, the day we're going to release this, Treasury finally released the loan forgiveness application. This application walks people through a lot of the steps and the questions that are required for getting loan forgiveness. Now, it does not answer every question we have. There are still some questions out there specifically having to do with the paid or accrued as it relates to payroll and a couple other question marks. But in general, this answers and shows exactly where Treasury is going with the forgiveness and allows people to start filling out those applications to prepare for forgiveness, as a lot of companies' 8-week period with their PPP loan are coming to a close relatively soon. And then finally, on Monday the 18th, Treasury released an interim rule related to the treatment of entities with foreign affiliates. Basically, what this relates to is under the rules of the 500 employee test, the 500 employee test specifically stated if you had 500 employees in the U.S., then you met the requirements. There were some questions as to the affiliation rules, and what this basically update lets people know is when calculating your 500 employee test, you have to include employees of both foreign and domestic affiliates. So if you are a company in the U.S. with 400 employees, but you have a foreign affiliate with 2,000 employees, you have to count both when calculating your 500 employee test. This is something that a lot of people interpreted this differently based on the way the original rules were written. And so this is something that Treasury is confirming for us. So this might require people to look at their applications one more time as they move forward. Appreciate you logging on. If you have any questions, please reach out to anyone at McGuire Sponsel.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire at McGuireSponsel.com.